The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, yes, we're a suburban people. I don't know, sometimes these agricultural images don't serve us all that well, but I think this one can. And of course, it's more than an agricultural image, this vine and vine grower, or even vine dresser. We know that Israel, from the scriptures, we hear and we see, and especially in the Psalms, Israel is God's vine. Because we hear in the Psalms, God plucked a vine out of Egypt, right? So God, in his mercy, freed his people from slavery, and he planted them in the promised land. In fact, the prophets pick up on that same image and talk about, say the wild grapes of Israel, right? That's a vine that is not bearing its proper fruit. And so God taking Israel, his people, planting them in the promised land, what he expects them to bear the fruit of his purpose, of his purposes. Now Jesus, by saying, I am the true vine, is saying that he is the true Israel, which means that he carries forward, say, the purpose and the promise of Israel. So it benefits us to be able to say, okay, well, what is that? And I think there are any number of ways to look at Israel and try to get a sense of their reason for being, right? At least in God's mind, in his plan. So we know that the promise made to Abraham is that through his progeny, right? So through Abraham's descendants, every corner of creation will be blessed. The idea was to bring his blessing, God's blessing, to all peoples. That was the promise given to Abraham. We know, likewise, throughout the scriptures, Jesus picks up on this as well, and we see it in the Sermon on the Mount. Right? You are made to be light of the world, the light of the world, salt of the earth. Yeah, that's Israel's call. They're called to be the light of the world. And in fact, we see Jesus saying that himself, right? I am the light of the world. Okay, so there are many, many ways that Jesus refers to himself as Israel in the flesh. Of course, we have to have some sense of the fact that, yeah, okay, bringing God's blessing to bear throughout all of his creation. I would say also undoing the havoc and the chaos that's caused by our rebellion against God, man's rebellion against God. We know original sin, the human project goes awry because Adam loses his trust in God. He gives himself over to some idol. And through acts of idolatry, right, by worshiping the wrong things, we bring chaos and disorder into God's good creation. We sow the seeds, we also reap the fruit of injustice. Right, so it's not just that our relationship with God goes awry by our acts of idolatry, but our relationships with each other, with ourselves, with each other, and also with all of creation go awry because of our hearts and our lives being focused on the wrong thing. No longer, say, the true and living God, but But some others say vain pursuit. So the pursuit of power, wealth, popularity, and the like. Okay, Jesus is bringing the project back online. Okay, when he says, I am the true vine, I am the true Israel, he's saying that the promise and the purpose of Israel now resides in him. He's going to drive it forward. What is he going to drive forward? He's going to drive forward God's promise to bless all peoples through Israel, through the descendants of Abraham. And so this new Israel movement assumes all of those promises and all of that purpose. And Jesus as the true vine, it's interesting, okay, for those of us who like predicate nominatives, I guess, is I am the true vine, right? I am, okay, the predicate nominative is the true vine. We've already seen I am the light of the world. We've seen I am the bread of life. But this is the only predicate nominative that gives us not only an I am, but a you are. Okay, and then we sum up all of the predicate nominatives into this phrase in order to give it some thrust in terms of like, what is the obligation enjoined on us? It's not that sad. I mean, a little bit of grammar, that it never killed anybody, okay? Maybe, I'm not sure about that actually, but okay, so. I'm so get distracted. Okay, so it enjoins on us obligations, responsibilities, and the rest as a result of who Jesus is and who we are in relation to him. So I am the true vine. You are the branches. Okay, so you are gathered to Jesus. In fact, you're grafted into the vine, and you are made then to dwell in him as he dwells in you, and to bear the fruit of the promise of God, to bring his love to life in the world. Okay, remain in me as I remain in you. This is, I think, the most profound thing. I wanted to say like the ways that we remain in Jesus, I think it's significant. Okay, so I'm going to jump a little bit to that. Okay, how do we remain in Jesus? Okay, well, the first thing to say actually is a bit of a preamble to that, and say we remain in him because he remains in us. So, and we only have access to the vine and the life of the vine because he has summoned us, right? He has taken the initiative. He has called us into his new Israel movement. Right? That's why you're here, okay? So I'm sorry if you thought that you were here because of your own brilliance and your own cleverness or your own moral superiority. No, you're here because Jesus has called you here. It's very significant, right? Because if it's because of something that we've done, of course, that thing might be taken away, or we might no longer value it. But if it's because of something that Jesus has done, then it's not so easily lost. And we can trust then not in ourselves to continue the relationship and to have it bear fruit, but we can trust in Jesus to do what he intends to do. Right, which I think is probably, I mean, for me anyway, this is much better than relying on myself and my own resources, is to say I'm going to rely on Jesus for the maintenance of this relationship, right, and for the flourishing of this relationship. Okay, so he's doing it. Now, how do we remain in him? We remain in him, I'll have to say, by prayer, by faith, by sacrament. Okay, by prayer. What is prayer? This was my, say, reflection in the chapel this morning, right? I'm praying my holy hour. This is my reflection. I am here as a branch on the vine. Okay, so I'm here drawing life from Jesus. That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. I think sometimes we get prayer in the big picture, we get it a bit wrong, right? We say it can feel like an obligation. It can feel like I got to go check the box, do the thing, say the right words. No, prayer is drawing life from Jesus. So how great is prayer in that sense? How great is it to spend time, usually in silent, if we can find it? I know, I get it, but we have to make the time as well, right? We spend time in silent prayer with God, and we can start drawing life from Jesus. Okay? This is the beginning. What happens though when we draw life from Jesus? We're breathing in his own spirit. We're breathing in God's life of love that he is giving so freely to us. Okay, then as a result, right, as a result of our receiving the gift and receiving it well, there are certain responsibilities that are enjoined on us. The first would be that we live to the plan and purpose of God, which is to say this, we need to have a bit of a revolution in our minds about why we exist. And I would say this is like a day-to-day or even moment-to-moment reality. In our culture, at least, we exist as, say, end users of some particular thing or other. We exist as consumers. Okay, so it means that if we take that mentality, we bring it to God, we're going to say, okay, this relationship is for my benefit. Okay, like I'm the end user. This is where it stops. I'm a receptacle of God's grace. I'll receive everything that he's got for me. But actually, God's purpose is not that you are, say, the end user of the thing, but that we, receiving grace, become vehicles of his grace. So it's not as though we want to sit back and say, and our reflection, allow our reflections to be, we are blessed. We are blessed. Look at everything God has given us. This is so great. Thank you, God. Okay, that's good, right? That's a good note of thanksgiving, but it's not the whole thing. The whole thing is that we are becoming a blessing. Okay, so I want to kind of rewrite this in our minds. It's not that I live to be blessed, it's that I live to be a blessing. And when I live to be a blessing, we're going to find that the blessings that we receive are much more significant than the ones that we would otherwise be thanking God for, which are usually things like, you know, material success and that kind of thing. Okay, so we're made to be a blessing. This is what it means to be branches on the vine and to be producing the fruit that God intends us to produce. Okay, so this is prayer. What else did I say? I don't, you know, can't remember. He's like, okay, don't remember. You don't get to say it. Okay, well, that's, you know, that's true. Okay, prayer, sacraments. I know. I see. Yeah, sacraments. Who's listening to me? Yeah, that's great. Sacraments, and I said faith. Okay, so sacraments. Yeah, this is like the real deal. Participation in the life of the vine. Because here at the altar is represented the Good Friday offering of Jesus, that perfect sacrifice of praise, and we offer ourselves along with Jesus to the Father. This is real insertion into the vine. And then we're drawing on the life of the vine simply by the prayer itself, but also, again, reception, worthy reception of the sacrament, worthy reception of the Eucharist. I mean, God is feeding us with he's feeding us with his life. We have to produce the fruit of that life. Okay, so we don't want to receive the Eucharist in vain. We want to become what we receive. So we're receiving the love of God made flesh for us. We're becoming the love of God made flesh for the world. Okay? And what did I say? Faith. Okay, faith is significant because faith is adhering. We're adhering to Jesus. We're clinging to him. We're holding fast to him. Okay? Do we, with some regularity, need to hold fast to Jesus? We need to. Because we sometimes feel it slipping away. Do you know? Or we sometimes feel it being pulled off. Like pulled off the vine, right? We feel, okay, we have to cling to him. We have to cling to him. This is the pruning. This is the pruning. When we cling to Jesus, we know that he's our strength, and it's his promise. So it's his initiative. It's his promise. It's he who has us cling to him, right? He gives us the strength to cling to him and to cling to God and his purposes. If we cling to him, then we will bear fruit. But yeah, struggle, difficulty, challenges, whatever, everything's coming at us. Thick and fast, right? The things that would otherwise separate us from the vine, separate us from God and his purposes, separate us from bearing the fruit of the kingdom and the rest, it's all coming at us. We have to cling to him and hold fast to him in faith. So we continue to entrust ourselves to him. If we live entrusting ourselves to him, even if it feels brittle, fragile, whatever, even if we don't see, you know, how God is making a way, how this all makes sense and whatever, you know, we hold fast to Jesus. And we find that we're being pruned, like the bad stuff or the stuff we don't need is being cut away. And the good stuff is remaining to bear more fruit. And the fruit is the fruit of charity. So if we cling to Jesus, we'll find ourselves purified to be a people of great charity, greater generosity. And we'll bear fruit, we'll bear the fruit of his Spirit at work in us and working through us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. Right? We'll in fact be living the life of Christ for a world that really needs it.